SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wow, I was surprised, Carver High, that your Bills threw the game on Friday night. That was ugly.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are the, you know, the warnings of playing these preseason games. Sometimes, you know, teams do not care. They don't care what they do out there, who's playing, what they're calling. And you saw a lot of that with the Bills Friday night in Carolina, a 21-0 loss. But all of the talk this weekend in Buffalo, of course, Scotty, was how they were going to handle the situation with their rookie punter, Matt Areza, after the gang rape allegations that we talked about on Friday. So they did end up releasing him on Saturday. They let him go. Now, this is McDermott Friday night after the loss to Carolina. This is when, you know, they didn't let him play. The news really started to churn out there. You could tell McDermott not a happy camper, Scotty, talking about the situation.
It's not a situation we take lightly. I'm hurt. I understand they're hurt. And it's emotional. It's not easy to hear about some of the things that I've heard about over the last several hours, say. And haven't slept a lot, to be honest with you, because this is a game, but there's other things that are more important than this. It's just, you know, a matter of trying to find the truth at the end of the day, right? That's the goal, is find the truth and do the right thing. And that's what I keep coming back to in my mind and my heart, is find out the truth to the best of my ability and do the right thing.
Well, I understand why they got rid of him, but if they're so interested in the truth, then why did they get rid of him so quickly? If they were so interested in the truth, the attorneys on both sides, I mean, this thing is far from over. We have no clue what's going to happen. You have the accusations of a lawyer and the girl, and then you have the denials on the other side from the punter and the attorney. And that nothing has been really told about what's happened, other than that there was a alleged gang rape at San Diego State and that he was involved in it with two other players. And they've named those two other players, by the way. But all I'm saying is, if they care about the truth so much, you cannot go out and go on record talking about how you want the truth when you're talking about someone's existence and future. They drafted the kid and they gave up on him in 5 seconds because the media and the fans in Buffalo persecuted him and found him guilty immediately. Guilty as charged, and off to jail you go. So that's not the way the world works. That's not the way it works. If it's so much trouble, then why did he never get arrested? Why has he never been charged? Why has none of that happened? Explain that to me. Because I think McDermott sounded like a fool right there.
Well, I'll explain it to you as best as I think you can. Because he's a punter and he's not worth the trouble. Let's just say it like it is. He's a punter. He doesn't matter. This is a sticky situation, which, you're right, the true facts of it have not come out yet. But the amount of static and heat that they're getting for keeping the guy on the team isn't worth having a rookie punter. Now, we've already seen in the last year, when the static and the heat is on a star quarterback, you're going to keep him around until you find the light at the end of the tunnel and find out what's going on. When you're a punter and you're getting this kind of blow, well, they're never going to say that. We know that.
But he acted like they're doing some kind of investigation and they're looking for the truth and they want to find out what happened. And he's having sleepless nights. No, he isn't. They cut him Friday. Bye. You're done. They should have just said that. We're not having it. We want nothing to do with him.
Right. Right. The organization, as Tim Graham was telling you on Friday, allegedly knew about this in the last week of July. Did that get to Bean and McDermott? I find it very difficult that it didn't. I find it very hard to believe that the organization was let known about this potential situation a month ago And the head coach and the general manager just found out, you know, in the last 3 or 4 days. I think that's very hard to believe.
Or they knew and did nothing about it because they didn't believe that he was going to get nailed.
Well, or they thought it would never come into light or just blow over or just not happen, you know, nothing. Maybe they didn't think they'd file a civil lawsuit. Maybe they knew about it and said, maybe this is just going to go away and we'll never see the light of day.
Well, it did come out. Do you think he'll get charged? We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, SportsMap, Sports Byline, to Coast to Coast. We're talking about a raise at a punter of the Bills that got cut. He's been accused of rape. Do you think that he'll be arrested and charged in this gang rape and go to jail? Or do you think he's going to get, bottom line, away with it?
I don't know. I don't think that that's something that any of us can really tell. We've read the report of what's in the civil lawsuit. We've read all the really awful details that are in that. If that stuff is true, he should go to jail. I don't think we're going to know for a long time how this plays out, Scotty. I don't know. Everybody's cutting guys today. They'll get a punter. I saw the Titans cut that guy Kern, who's been with them for 10 years. He's a decent. They're going to get a punter. You know, they barely punted last year. I'm hoping that they're not going to punt this year. So whoever they got, they'll
never
be able to get through the end of the
day.
They never punted last year. I mean, they moved the football. All right, we'll come back and we'll give you more.
There's college teams that do that. They never punt, ever.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wow, and, you know, it wasn't just the Steelers that had guys dropping like Johnson and Watt. The Panthers had guys dropping too, Carver High.
They certainly did. Sam Darnold, who's going to be the backup quarterback, well, he won't be for 4 to 6 weeks. He got carted off with an ankle injury, Scotty, and never good to lose your kicker in the last preseason game either. Zane Gonzalez carted off the field on Friday night for Carolina. So they took a toll in that 21-0
they
win
lost
over
Castle
the Bills on
too,
Friday.
Or the kid Corral from Ole Miss. He's done for
Corral
the year.
Corral week before that lost him with the foot, and he's finished. So we know it's Baker Mayfield time. Not going to be much behind him except the immortal P.J. Walker, who's now the main backup down there in Carolina. All right, the Cowboys beat the Seahawks 27-26. Who cares about that? I think it was Thursday or Friday, Scotty. We were sitting here on Coast to Coast, and I played you a clip of Pete Carroll telling you about how he's got 2 weeks to decide the quarterback. Drew Locke hasn't had a fair shake because he had the Honta. I think I have two number one quarterbacks. Both guys might play. Drew Locke goes out Friday night and throws three interceptions against the Cowboys. And suddenly, Pete Carroll has changed his tune. Here he was after the game.
Geno was solid in his outing, and Geno's going to start, you know, that he's going to start the opener, and he's earned it. He's won the job with the time and the time frames that got messed up for us for Drew. Drew just ran out of time in making his bid for it, and I'm clear about that. So I just want to let you know so everybody knows, and so you don't have to ask about it anymore.
Yeah, no one will ask about it because both of them are so awful that they're going to have a quarterback problem the whole season. I don't care what anybody says. Geno is no starter. And we've already seen that display for years, and it's just not happening. They're going to be a disaster.
It's just amazing. 3 minutes after the game, the guy goes out on the podium and throws him to the wolves after saying he's going to take the next 2 weeks and figure it out. And let me tell you, whenever this Jimmy G thing does happen, and I mean him getting released at some point, if he wants to play every single game this year, that's the place. I mean, go up the road to Seattle. If they release you, that is a spot where he can absolutely play every single game this year. I know the team sucks, and that's probably part of the reason why he doesn't want to do that. But if he's just looking to play, that is awful. Geno Smith and Drew Lock, Scotty, and they're going to have a long year.
Well, they don't want to pay him $24 million. Second of all, Rudolph thing, now, this afternoon, they're saying that he's only making $3 million, and they don't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
They don't want to trade him. It's nothing. It's like a lunch bill for the Steelers, paying that quarterback $3 million to be on the roster. So word is out of Pittsburgh today that they're not going to move him, but I don't know what I believe anymore.
I think we just have to, at this point, wait until everything shakes out tomorrow at the cut deadline and see who goes where with the teams getting to 53. All right, Saints beat the Chargers. Winston played, looked pretty good for New Orleans, Scotty, so that's good going into the season. Raiders beat the Pats 23-6. I know it's preseason and people don't like hearing about it, but they're not thrilled up in New England. I mean, Mac Jones, he was awful. I mean, he threw an interception with like six guys sitting around a Patriot receiver. That's going to be a bigger problem for them than they thought, not having those two guys, Patricia and Judge, run the offense. It's going to be an issue for them this year in New England. All right, we mentioned that Brady was number one on this dopey list. Here's the top 10, Scotty. They do this every year, this NFL Network, top 100 players. Brady 1, Aaron Donald, Rodgers, Kupp, Jonathan Taylor, T.J. Watt, Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Ramsey, and Travis Kelce. The top 10 players, according to people who think they know. They blame it on the players, the network. Everybody gets mad at the network. They tell them that their list sucks. They say that the players voted on it. Whatever. There you go.
Do you believe he's the number one player in the NFL?
No, I do not. I do not believe he's the number one player in the NFL. That's just that. You know, is he the number one player, you know, if you took his entire career that's still in the NFL right now? Oh, sure. He's got more accolades than anybody in the history of the entire game. But this year, is he the best player in the NFL? No, he's 45 years old. He's not the best player in the NFL. Come on.
It's not even close.
And we are going to start this week, Scotty, getting into all of the lines for next week, week one in the NFL. But I will tell you, you dropped this note for me, and we'll start our week with this. The Browns have gone winless in 17 straight week one games. That's a current streak, and it's the most in NFL history going into this year. That's a long haul. Of course, they're in Carolina to face Baker Mayfield in week number one.
I couldn't even believe that list. It was so amazing. Yeah. You should show it tomorrow. Like, Philadelphia is on that list. What are they, 8 or 9 in a row?
Well, that's all time. It was an all-time list. So that was an all-time week one streak. So those weren't current going into this year. Those were the all-time longest streaks of losing in week one.
Is the Browns current?
The Browns is current. That one is current. The other ones on the list were all-time. So that tells you how bad this stretch of week ones has been for Cleveland, Scotty, the all-time longest week one winless streak.
And I got people in Cleveland arguing with me about how great the Browns franchise is.
Well,
you gotta remember, these people, they want to argue with me about the difference between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and there is no comparison whatsoever. 6 Super Bowls, 8 Super Bowl appearances, and that's the end of the discussion. They've never been there in the Super Bowl era. Not once. Stop. And it's amazing to me the amount of exposure they get. Every year we hear about the Browns, like they're going to go to the Super Bowl. The Cleveland Browns, they've lost 17 straight openers. That's a bigger story than that they suck.
Well, you got to remember, they won all those NFL titles before World War II, Scotty. So we have to make sure that
anything before Christ doesn't count.
Anything before Super Bowl I, doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. We only do the Super Bowl era going forward.
Doesn't.
All right, we have a lot of baseball to do. I'm going to start it now, and we'll continue it later on this hour. Dodgers beat the Marlins 8-1. They play again tonight, wraparound series in South Beach, Scotty. Let me just give you Mookie Betts' this weekend. He had 2 home runs and a double on Friday night. He had a home run Saturday, the only run that they scored against Alcantara, and then he led off yesterday's game with this to get an 8-1 lead started on Peacock.
Mookie Betts, who's 5 out of 10, including a 2 home run game on Fridays. A drive here for Betts into center field and gone just over the wall. A leadoff home run for Mookie Betts. He continues to tattoo the baseball in this series.
I mean, that's crazy. I don't know what's crazier, that he did it or that they sat him down today when a guy's that hot.
Right. The guy's smoking hot. You take him out of the lineup today, but allegedly, according to the Dodger people, this was a day that Dave Roberts had circled a while ago that he was going to give Mookie the night off, was tonight. So even though he's swinging a hot stick, he's going to sit him down before they move on to New York, because they do play, I believe, the Mets. They start a series with tomorrow, Scotty. So we get some Dodgers-Mets,
yeah,
I believe, at Citi Field. He'll be in the lineup then. We'll do the Yankee audio later. We'll start it now. Yankees lost 4-1 yesterday. They split the four games in Oakland. We mentioned it earlier. The embarrassing performance between Saturday and Sunday against two guys who had ERAs over six. It's just like I said to you. They can't go out there and look like that against these awful teams on the West Coast. And that's precisely what they did, Scotty. Just a gutless performance.
I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what it does to me. I can't even watch it anymore. I can't watch them. And did you see, like, Rizzo falling down on his face, rounding first on that double? Like, they literally are like a comedy of errors. When they go out west, it's just not even them. It's like they should just forfeit the games and not even go. Just stay home in New York and, like, go get pedicures or something. Because every time they go out west, all they do is lose.
We'll hear from Boone later. He blamed the Shadows on Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I don't know if you saw that yesterday, Carver High, when Rory came roaring back to win the Tour Championship. You see his bag? He had at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on the bag. The caddy had it on his hat. The balls were marked with the Sports Grid logo. You know, a lot of guys use a Sharpie to just put dots on the ball. Not Rory. He had Sports Grid and Sports Grid TV all over his golf balls. Unbelievable.
We will hopefully get to that later on, Scotty. But, man, that was nice for me to end the PGA season with a winner. Having Rory at 9-1, I had thrown it away, obviously. I didn't think he had any chance. What a melt by Scheffler over really the last 27 holes to give that to Rory. Now, Rory made a ton of big putts, too, coming down the stretch. But Scheffler should have ran away with that Tour Championship. He really let Rory get back in. But I will take it gladly to end the season with the win. All right, I told you that I would give you Boone. Now, he was asked a question about if the Yankee offense falling asleep because it's late in the season. He gives one of his typical mumbo-jumbo answers and then actually even throws in that the shadows, like the sunlight, was a problem because of the start time on Saturday. This guy loves excuses. Here's Aaron Boone.
We got to make sure we bring it every single day. And, you know, I don't think that was the issue. I think we just got shut down, unfortunately, here these last 23 hours. So,
like, two guys with six ERAs.
Got to do a better job there. But, no, we got a division to try and win, and we need to put our best foot forward.
There's two starters that shut you down, both had ERAs above six. Is it, did you think that it was those guys pitching well, or your guys not getting good bats, or a little above?
A little of both. I think that 6 o'clock start last night can be challenging those first few innings just from a shadow standpoint.
Come
I thought Martinez
on.
Threw the ball
you
well
had
today.
One
like, he's
hit.
Got a good arm. You know, the sinker,
I mean,
slider,
honestly.
And that changeup were playing today. But, you know, we should be able to put together more offense. And we got it. You know, we're going to be
one hit.
You know, the kind of team we expect to be. We got to, you know, we got to do a better job there.
Enough.
You mean the team that never shows that you're that team anymore? You mean that team that used to be the team in the first 3 months of the season? That team's long gone. This is who you are
that
now.
That team is long gone. Like, can you believe this guy sitting out there? For him to have the stones to bring up the shadows on Saturday night, they had one hit on Saturday night, and he blames the shadows because it was a 6 o'clock local start at the Ashtray. He's something else. They will never win with that manager.
Give him another extension. Give him another few years to fail. Just let him keep losing.
Couple other things. Judge did hit his 49th. That was Friday night, dead center off of Sears. We rang the bell there. And in the next you can't make it up department for the Yankees, they had to put Aroldis Chapman on the IL after getting an infection on his leg from getting a tattoo, Scotty. Chapman, who sucks now anyway, maybe it's better that he got the tattoo and got it because now he's not going to pitch. Can you make it up? Gets the infection from the tattoo on his leg.
Well, as you know, Carver High, you have a lot of tats. So does Mafia. And yeah. I refuse to have tats. And every time I drive by a tattoo shop, 34C has multiple tattoos, my wife. And I constantly say, you want to get a tattoo? Like she's trying to get me to get a tattoo. It's just not happening. Right. Because I don't want to get a staph infection. MRSA.
So the Yankees.
Your boy Chapman's got MRSA.
The Yankees will now head to Anaheim tonight for 3. Another place that's been an absolute house of horrors for them. We'll talk about that later on Coast to Coast. The Mariners, Scotty, take 3 out of 4 on Ichiro weekend up in Seattle from the Guards. Yesterday, it was Dylan Moore, our boy D. Moore, on Root Sports in Seattle. Give it to us, soul man.
2-2 to Demo. 2 outs, 2 on. Savali deals. Breaking ball. Swung on. Driven deep to left. Kwan running out of room. It's gone. Demo. Dylan Moore with a 3-run homer. The Mariners have the lead.
I got to tell you, Carver High, let's just be honest here. I had a big piece on them yesterday and Robbie Ray. And that game was scoreless like in the fifth inning. And then he hit one more to left, and then I think France hit one and broke out of his skid. And then they got the job done. I had a really nice fat chunk on that game yesterday and hit it. I had another one, too, on the Brewers and hit that, too.
Another good performance from Robbie Ray for the Mariners yesterday against the Guards, that's for sure, as they continue to play well. The Cardinals beat the Braves 6-3 last night, Scotty. Now, Saturday night, they needed a big comeback against the Brave bullpen. Bases loaded, walk in the 9th, won it for them. Then last night, they victimized the Braves bullpen again. Tyler O'Neill with the 3-run homer on ESPN.
Drilled to center. Harris back. Back some more.
So I had a huge bet on Saturday night on that 9th inning, 2-run walk-off win over the Braves. I hit that, and that was the Montgomery start. And then on Sunday, I had a huge bet on the under 8.5 runs, and it was no score with 2 outs in the 6th inning. And then they scored 9 runs the rest of the way. I was in bed, and 34C came in because I was so stressed out watching the game because I had a big bet on it. I said, I can't even take this anymore. I'm going to bed. I don't even care. I can't take it. I was going to have a heart attack. I was going to have the big one. And then I went to bed. She comes walking in the room, and she said, hey, do you want to see the score of your baseball bet? And I go, yeah. She turns the game on, and I see this guy rounding the bases. And I'm like, you think it's funny that I just lost a bunch of money? And then now I can't sleep. It's on you that you did this to me. You kept me up all night with amnesia or whatever the hell it is, insomnia. Kept me up all night. My wife turning on me on one of my bets, making fun of me when I lose money. I don't think it's funny.
Not funny at all. Also not funny for the Braves is that Acuna Jr. is always hurt. His knee's bothering him, Scotty. He didn't play Saturday and Sunday for Atlanta. He hopes to return tomorrow. Always hurt. Ronald Acuna
Always.
Jr. You could set the sundial to every couple of
Too
weeks.
Too bad they got all those other young players. They don't need him.
That's true. They won the World Series without him last year. He did not play when they won the World Series. So anything they get from him is a bonus, pretty much. The Rockies beat the Mets and Max Scherzer 1-0 at Citi Field yesterday, Scotty. How about Germán Márquez, usually a gas can for the Rockies, throwing zeros on the board all day long? Somebody asked Buck, was there a little hangover from all the big old-timers' day festivities on Saturday at the ballpark? Buck said, what are you talking about? That guy pitched great for Colorado. Here's Buck.
No, I think I've sensed their pitcher pitching real well. I really did. The want to was there. Sometimes he's, you know, trust me, these guys get a well-deserved day off tomorrow before a really good club comes in here and there's another challenge around the corner. But, you know, there's an ebb and flow to even how you feel physically, emotionally, mentally in a baseball season. That's why people from football and basketball background have no idea what these guys go through every day. I mean, it's an everyday sport, and you are going to have ups and downs mentally, emotionally. You're not robotic, but I thought our guys were more – today was more a product of their guys really being on top of their game.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it about old-timers' day. Who cares? But how about this guy Scherzer? Didn't he strike out 11 and lost 1-0? You got to be kidding me. And that team and that pitcher, they couldn't score any runs off of Márquez. He gives up 6-7 runs a game.
Couldn't believe it. I was with you yesterday on the Mets. I had a couple of their guys for props who had some really good numbers against Márquez. Lindor, Vogelbach, etc.
They were heavy
favorite. Nobody could hit him. Nobody could hit him yesterday. It's just the way that it goes. Good weekend for the White Sox, Scotty. If you thought there was any chance of them coming back and winning the Central, those thoughts were really hurt by getting swept at home by the Arizona Diamondbacks, of all teams. Jake McCarthy in the ninth inning yesterday on Bally Sports Arizona gave him the lead for good.
4 hits in the ball game last night. And he finds that gap. McCarthy dunks one into right center. Varsho will score. They will wave Rojas. Here's the throw, and Josh is out of there. But Jake McCarthy has done it again. An enormous two-out RBI hit has made it 3-2 Diamondbacks in the ninth in Chicago.
So I had an in-game bet on the White Sox at plus +143, something like that. They were down 1-0. They took the lead 2-1, and they go into the ninth inning and lose that game 3-2. I mean, honestly, I think I may have swallowed my own hurl. I mean, I'm done with the White Sox. I am done. Yeah. Their season's over. Put a fork in them. They're finished. And I'm not betting on them ever again with, dollars. I might say I'll take them tonight. I'm never going to the window again the rest of this year and betting one penny on that crappy team. And they need to fire that old goat, Tony La Russa, too.
I don't blame you. Extremely disappointing season for the White Sox.
They got swept by the Diamondbacks.
Swept at home by the D-backs.
That's it.
Out.
Your season's over. You're done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, throw back on Coast to Coast. It's cool to have Corey Overtime Anderson on C2C today. Of course, from Bellator, he's getting ready for a huge rematch with the Bellator world champ Nemkov on November 18th. And he's training for that fight right now. He's fighting out of Jersey via Illinois. That's where he grew up as a kid. He's a badass now, though. I got to tell you, the first time you fought him, Corey, first of all, thanks for coming on, brother, man. You fought him the first time, and, like, you guys had, like, the skull headbutt city, right? Like, you guys smashed skulls, and that was it. They stopped the fight?
Yep, pretty much. That's how I went. Third round, 3 seconds left. And, I was going to drop an elbow from the top, and he kicked my legs out. with a lot of his and Frank Triggs was saying, clean shot, keep going. But I let him know, like, no, it wasn't clean. It was my head. And then before you know it, the fight was stopped. And before you know it, the fight was over. So
what at that moment, what kind of damage did you get in that spot? Were you did it get a big gash, cut open, bleeding? What happened? I didn't see it.
I mean, I didn't have any damage. It was him. His whole right eyebrow or left eyebrow was split from where his nose meets his eyebrow all the way across. It was just cut open all the way down to his eyelid. So, yeah, they couldn't continue to fight anymore.
You seem as though you kind of like seeing him all banged up and cut up. Like, you probably would have finished him right then and there when you saw him having a problem. That's when you go for the throat, right? Go, you know, you see a guy's injured, you go for it and finish him. What was it like up till that point in those three rounds that you got a taste of this guy now that you're going to face him again for the belt?
I mean, the first round was a lot closer. Like, I could tell everybody, if anything, I would say he won the first round. He landed some more shots. He was doing more. He was more active as I was. Part of my game plan was to weather the storm, you know, play calm the first round, feel what he's going to do, and then take over the second, third, and third, fourth. And the second and third round, I just took him down and was mauling him on top and up until the headbutt. So it sucked the way it happened, but it is what it is. Like you said, most people would have gone for the kill when they see him bloody and hurting like that. But for me, it was just me doing my job to make sure I was being a fair sport, I guess you can say. I was letting the ref know because he kept saying clean shot. I was informing him to let the judges know it wasn't clean. It was an accidental headbutt. And usually let the judges know so they don't score that damage. I didn't know they were going to stop the fight from there, but it is what it is now. Now I just got to go back and do it over, but do it better.
Well, it is what it is. And how is the training going right now for that fight? Because obviously I've seen this guy and I've seen you fight. He's a badass. He's been getting all these accolades and everything. How are you doing getting ready for this second showdown with him with all that's at stake here in November?
I mean, I'm doing the same way I was doing it the first way. Just train hard, train smart, listen to my coaches, stay prepared. The biggest thing of it all is just to stay smart in training, you know, to make it to the fight injury-free. Make it through the tournament injury-free was pretty much the whole goal when the tournament was announced. Like somebody once told me, it's not always the best fighter who wins in the end. It's the person who's going to be well-prepared and the healthiest. So that's just been the goal throughout the whole tournament. Stay healthy, train hard, train smart, get there and dominate.
What has it been like for you? You know, I want to talk about prior to going to Bellator in a minute, but when you're in Bellator, and I'm friends with Scott Coker, I think he's just incredible what he's pulled off with his business model. I think it's really cool that he has these Grand Prix tournaments. What's it like for you to come from the UFC to do these Grand Prix tournaments? I mean, I think they're really badass and cool. Have you enjoyed it? You fought some of the best fighters in the world in these tourneys. Do you like them, these style of tourneys?
I mean, for me, I love it because I'm coming from a wrestling background. So every weekend, it was a tournament. Since I was a kid, since I was 22 years old, every weekend was a tournament. And the greatest thing about a tournament is, like usual in a normal platform of a fight, you fight somebody and you have to wait to see what the promotion says or what the fans say on who you should fight next. As for a tournament aspect, as soon as you get into the gym, like in college, high school, you go to the gym, you find the brackets, you know, if I beat this guy, I fight this guy next. If I lose this guy, I fight this guy next. As for this one, if you lose, you out. So it's like, I beat Yags, I move forward to Bader. I beat Bader, I'm going to get whoever's on the other side in the finals. And I always knew from the get-go that it's going to be Bader, or not Bader, Rumble or Nemkov. Rumble ended up getting hurt and something happened where he couldn't move on. So right then I knew I'd be facing Nemkov in the finals.
That's awesome. So you have beaten, and some of these guys have been on this show, Bader, Glover Teixeira, Johnny Walker, Manhoff, Yaksha Muradov, who you just beat, and Blachowicz. Those are some serious names I'm throwing out there that you've already beaten. It's got to be pretty gratifying, something, you know, at this point what you've accomplished, and you got a long way to go. You're about to fight for a belt. What do you think of the people you've cut through already?
I mean, it's very satisfying, like you said. You know, the biggest thing for me is I actually just ran into a buddy of mine that I started training when I first, before I had my first fight, we actually debuted together on the same night. And he fought on the night. He'd already fought. But he told me then, he's like, bro, I'm telling you right now, before you fight, before you even get big, I'm letting you try the best in the world. Like, I've seen you train. I watched you train since the beginning. Like, everything you do is what some of the top tier guys don't do and can't do or won't do. And you will do it. You're going to be great. And I seen him a couple weeks ago reffing a fight. And he said, like, bro, I always told you from the beginning. Like, I knew how good you were. And now, like you said, you throw off that list of people. I fought two of those guys or the UFC champs, the last two UFC champs. Some other guys are Bellator champs. It's like, I beat those guys. And it just makes you think, like, everything the people have said that have believed in me the whole way up. You know, sometimes people say things, you're like, oh, they just saying it because they know me. But now you're at the point now, you look back and you can say, those people really meant it when they said it. They saw something that I didn't see or that I didn't know yet. And to make it there is very fulfilling to know you are as good as people say. And now that you believe it, you're as good as you believe. You just go out there and keep proving it. So it's just, it's
more of a confidence. You know, your boy, Frankie Edgar, is a friend of mine going way back. What was it like working with Edgar and Penn, BJ, in that Ultimate Fighter where you pretty much, if you know, I'm not crazy to say, you got made. I mean, that pretty much put you on the map. Everybody's like, oh, who's this crazy mother Pharreller out here fighting? And it really made a name for yourself. Did that do a lot for you confidence-wise? Coming from wrestling and everything, all of a sudden you get on this show, next thing you know, you're winning it. Like, what was that like?
I mean, I did everything for me because without that, I wouldn't be here. Without that, I wouldn't be Corey. I wouldn't have the style I have because I remember when the first fight to get in the house and Mark Henry was, he loved everything about me, my cardio, the fact I listened, and I was a wrestler. And I took those three things and started working with Frankie and Mark Henry and Ricardo Almeida, Steve Rivera, Nick Catone, all the people he had trained with at that point up until the Ultimate Fighter. And I train with those guys now, but it's all from the Ultimate Fighter. And now it's like they created and molded, I guess you can say, like a bigger Frankie Edgar in a way. I'm bigger, but I learned how to move like Frankie and study Frankie's style. And that just became something big guys weren't used to at 205 especially. So I can do what Frankie does, but at my size. And like I said, just the fact that he picked me and to work with him, without all that stuff in the Ultimate Fighter, I wouldn't be who I am in the first place.
You know, I'm about your size. I'm 6'4", 215, and you're a big boy. Number one now at light heavyweight, ranked in the world. That's badass. What did Ben Askren, so is he the guy that actually spotted you wrestling and said, yo, bro, you got to come over here and make some money?
Something like that, but it wasn't in those words. He was my coach at Whitewater, and the way I wrestled, I boxed. I broke my leg early in college. I started doing boxing workouts to get my footwork for wrestling and movement, and I would wrestle like I boxed. I was always bouncing on my toes, head moving, somebody go to reach and grab me, like ducking, bobbing, weaving, and I don't know what it is in my style that he saw, but he came to me and was like, bro, I think you could be really good at MMA. This was early in the season. He just said something in passing. And then later on, when we was training for wrestling and I finished second in the country and I thought he was going to help me with the Junior Olympic trials and whatnot. He asked me to come to his other gym, which happened to be Rufus Sport. And when I got there, he said it like, bro, welcome to your new sport. I mean, I hate to tell you, I know you don't want to fight. You said you didn't want to fight. But just from the way you wrestle and the way you move, I think you can be really good at this sport. I think if you tried it, you'll like it. I didn't try it the first day. I came back the next day and tried it, and that was it. Haven't done any wrestling since.
Well, you know, I got a lot of friends that have wrestled. I got a buddy that I played ball with that won three straight state championships in New Jersey as a wrestler. Best rebounder I ever played with in basketball. But I got to ask you, I ask this all the time of him, the strength in your lower body, your hips, what was it like to be that powerful, low to the ground, and getting on guys and finishing them? Then all of a sudden, you got dudes kicking you in the face and punching you in the face like you're out in the streets. That's no joke going from, you know, powerful tactics on the ground as a wrestler to actually having dudes kick you and light you up. What was that like for you? Was it like shocking, or were you like, all right, this is serious?
No, it was definitely shocking. The boxing aspect wasn't a problem. I had two amateur boxing fights while I was in college. I was used to the punches. But my first sparring session was against Anthony Pettis. So they had him throwing leg kicks at me so I can get used to them. I just remember, walking across my dad's yard. My dad got this huge yard, 7 acres. I remember walking across the yard the first day from parking at his warehouse to the house and limping the whole. It took me probably like 15 minutes just to get from the garage, the shop to the house, which is not even 100 yards. My legs were so in so much pain, I couldn't walk. I was like gimping, dragging a leg, take a break, rub them out, gimping, walk a leg just to get home. And I just remember to this day, like that was probably one of the worst pains I had, I would say, in this game because it was new to me. It was something I had never felt before. And I just remember being so sore. And I was sore like that for probably like 2 weeks before it finally went away.
That is brutal. What was your favorite fight, like even at the UFC, was it Blachowicz that you kicked his ass? Was it Glover? These are big names, and you just took them out. What was your favorite?
I think my favorite one was Glover Teixeira because the reason being, his style was contradicting to my style. My style of winning all the time was wrestling, but most guys didn't have great. They had good jiu-jitsu, but they didn't have great jiu-jitsu. As for Glover, is known for his jiu-jitsu. He's known for finishing people on the ground. So right before we walked out, I just remember thinking, like, gosh, I want to take this guy down. Well, he's way better at jiu-jitsu than me. But the fact that I still went out there and implemented my plan with wrestling, but using my striking and level changes up and down to mix it up to where he could never really time my entry and get a submission locked up and to go out there and dominate the way I did on a week and a half notice. On top of that, that was probably the icing on the cake for my career.
Well, listen, dude, I think it's great what you've accomplished. You've been on a hell of a tear. I'm glad you went to Bellator and got that money. I hope you're happy. I know you're having fun kicking people in the face and winning. Good luck against Nemkov. It's great hanging out with you, getting to know you a little bit. Knock him dead in that fight. No headbutts. Just finish him off this time. Become a world champ. We'll get you back on C2C. Thanks, brother. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
Yes, it is. Let's start today in 1968. Billie Jean King wins the first match of the U.S. Open tennis era, 1969. Joe Pepitone quits the Yankees after being fined $500 for leaving the bench. Your boy Joe, 72, Giants pitcher Jim Barr retires the first 20 batters he faces after retiring the last 21 he faced 6 days earlier, 41 batters in a row. Mark Burley would break that 37 years later, 1972. Bobby Mercer hits for the cycle. 1977, Lou Brock passes Ty Cobb's 49-year-old career stolen base record at 893. We love old highlights on C2C.
Kreisleben looks. He's going. The pitch is high. The throw is safe. He stole it. The throw got by the shortstop, and Brock has done it. They would have thrown him out, but the shortstop couldn't handle the bad throw. And this is it, folks. Brock has now stolen 893.
That's cool, right?
Of course, later on, Ricky Henderson would break that mark, Scotty. 1978, USTA National Tennis Center opens in Flushing Meadows. 1982, George Brett gets his 1,500th hit. In 93, he would steal a base to make him only the third player in history with 3,000 hits, 300 homers, and 200 steals. 2004, Andre Ward of the U.S. wins the light heavyweight boxing gold medal in Athens. 2007, Richard Jewell, the vindicated security guard from the 96 Olympic park bombing, dies at 44. 2009, Ronaldo makes his debut for Real Madrid, scoring on a penalty. 2010, for the first time ever, walk-off home run is subject to a video review. McCann's home run bounces back on the field. They called it a double. All right, 2012, USDA claims to have stripped Lance Armstrong of his 7 Tour de France titles. Good. 2018, Christian Yelich hits for the cycle, going 6-for-6. And tonight he's going to hit a homer against the Pirates at plus 400. 2018, Aaron Rodgers signs a contract extension with the Packers worth $180 million. There you go.